Hi.
How are you, Mel?
I never know if it's actually going to record. I just live in this like fear that it'll won't.
I always check.
Yeah.
To make sure. Because one time when I was a young journalist, I interviewed a band. It was like the Eagles or like an old dad rock.
Yeah.
And I was talking to this guy for a while. It was when I worked at Foxtel magazine. It's just like a little feature for their TV guide. And then I looked down, I'd be talking to him for about 10 minutes and I hadn't pressed record.
I was just like, fear.
And then I just started frantically like writing down everything I could remember. Luckily he was old, so he just went on and on and on.
Yeah.
So while he was answering a question, I had to go back through my memory and remember the past three questions and write whatever I could remember.
Who's your favorite interview, do you reckon, that you've done?
Yeah, mine was Emma Stone, actually.
Oh,
and
amazing.
I said, sorry, I'm double fisting dictaphone. She loved it. She was like, double fisting.
Yeah.
We did the Tim Tam Slam together. We wasted like 5 minutes of my 15-minute interview doing that, but it was worth it because like she was great. She was really nice.
I feel like Vance Joy, I've interviewed him 3 times now.
Yeah.
Which is weird that he's not my boyfriend,
yes,
frankly.
He's so beautiful.
Considering we've met 3 times.
Yeah.
But the first, every interview has been really weird, like two were video.
Yeah.
One, my first one was when I was a girlfriend and it was a phoner and I was obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And I remember like being so nervous that I went off on this weird tangent talking about
who
was in America.
Tangent?
Me?
I don't believe
on a
it.
Tangent? Can you believe? But it was like, we were talking about America. He was in America.
Yeah.
And it was somewhere weird, like in the middle, like middle America somewhere. And I'd been on road trips there. And I was like, oh, yeah, like you should go do this or do that. And I was like giving him, I was like Miss America Tipsy McGee. Like just like some fucking travel
Tipsy
agent.
Tipsy McGee.
And then it was like, honestly, because I was so anxious and we were like having a conversation that felt casual and comfortable.
Yes.
10 minutes went by and we had
a
15-minute interview. So
fuck.
Then I had to be like, shit, okay, so yeah, your album and this and that.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Yeah, who's your celebrity crush? And then, yeah, and then the other two were videos. And again, the first.
Oh, the second though.
That one that we did, because there was one with girlfriend where I was like anxious as fuck and I had this sweat moustache the whole time.
And didn't you touch him or he touched
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he touched my back. We were laughing about something and then he touched my back in like a friendly gesture of like, haha, yes, friend. And on the video, you can pinpoint the moment where he's touched my back and I've like lost my mind. My eyes just like
your face
look
starts
crazed.
Melting.
Yeah. And I'm just like laughing in this high pitch, like
he so is amazing. Really beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, I was actually going to say, let's just like cut the zest short because this is, look how long that is. It's like 100.
Fuck, Mel's holding up an encyclopedically long bit of research. I put a story up today because Mel was like, I could do this in half an hour. And I knew what she was doing and I was like, mm-hmm. And then I looked over and she was looking at a site that said CIA. She was a Wikipedia page for the CIA. And I'm like, what have you done, Mel? Like,
what shit have you gotten
What have you
into
done?
This week?
I do want to just say 2 weeks until the live show.
Yes.
It's on the 3rd of May. It's a Friday night. It's at a place that serves alcohol.
Yeah.
It's $20.
We've sold a shitload of tickets. We're actually getting to the pointy end now, which is wild for us.
So if you haven't got, if you're just kind of doing that thing where you're like, oh, I'll get one eventually.
Mm. No.
Buy tickets now. It's at Giant Dwarf in Redfern, which is in Sydney. Sorry to non-Sydney people. But if you are a Sydney person and you love the podcast, come along.
Even if you just kind of like it.
Come by yourself. There's a bunch of people meeting at a pub beforehand that are all Nigels going by themselves. Mm-hmm. So you can go with them or you can not and just go by yourself.
Yeah.
But please come along and like come meet us afterwards. We'll be like drunk and zesty.
We'll totally be drunk
I'll
and
be
zesty.
So drunk to get through public speaking.
Yeah.
But yes, that's my little PSA reminder before we go into this huge case that Mel has spent minutes researching.
So many minutes.
Can I crack my Easter egg?
You can crack your Easter. Oh, yeah. Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
It's past now
it's
that
Easter
this is
Tuesday.
Up. Whatever. Baby Jesus has died and then been reborn.
Oh, there we go.
Wow, you just totally fucked up my earphones of the.
Oh,
I can't hear myself now.
Sorry.
She banged it so hard.
It was
hard
very thick egg. It's a lint one. Do you want some?
No, I'm quite good on that front. Anyway, yeah, so I am doing Pine Gap. It was a last minute decision made at 7 a.m. this morning, I think, and researched within about 45 minutes, which this is multiple times this has happened where I've picked something that's not really super grim.
Yes.
But, I mean, Pine Gap isn't grim at all, but like, you know, like the Mackay murder is partly grim. Someone died. It's very sad that he died, but there's also the mafia is involved. So yeah. It's zesty. But both times, I think it's going to be cut and dried.
Yeah.
This happened, this happened, this happened, the end. Here's some fun shit around it. Mm. Bada bing, we're done. This time, again.
You're on the CIA site.
I'm on the fucking, within minutes I was on the CIA site.
ASIO are going to show up from bloody pull you away.
Well, then so many weird things happened to me while I was researching. Uh-huh. The internet went out like five times.
Yes.
Then I couldn't get access to my document for like 30 minutes because the password changed to my account. So I actually think it wouldn't even at all surprise me if they were tracking what I was doing.
Are they listening to us right now?
Definitely. They would have a ping on Pine Gap for sure on anything. But look, all my information has come from some weird places, which I'll now, that's a perfect time to read out all my sources. So three proper articles, one from The Intercept, which is ABC related, from 2017 by Ryan Gallagher, one from the Sydney Morning Herald from 2013 by Philip Dorling, and one from the New York Times from 2017 by Jackie Dent. Then we get into some weird shit because obviously there's conspiracies involved, which I'm going to talk to you about soon. Listverse 2018, Marcus Louth. The Universal Seduction by Christy Verismo, an excerpt that I found on some weird website. And Stillness in the Storm website, a 2013 article by Justin Deschamps. So that will come into play later. But basically I wanted to do this because I fucking love conspiracies, as you know. My favorite one that I guess kind of I must have been thinking about this and then I segued into Pine Gap was Jade Helm 15, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about. Basically it was this military exercise thingy across the United States that happened in 2015. It's very complex, but the nuts and bolts of it was that they got a bunch of military troops to assume roles of either an occupying or resistance force. It was kind of like a little play thing.
Like a kind of like a play. An exercise.
Yeah, like a little game.
Right.
But obviously not a game.
Like
but
a training exercise?
Yes.
Like well, that's when what people they said. Do mock court?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like mock trial.
A mock trial.
But so it was supposedly meant to be a way to improve forces for some sort of national security strategy. It all sounds very like aligning synergies bullshit.
Oh,
they
were leveraging
Their assets and segueing into a synergistic, holistic approach.
Yes. Yep.
Anyway.
To become part of that ecosystem.
Yes.
Our boss said ecosystem today in a meeting. So I made a mental note of the pedestrian ecosystem.
So good.
It's so good.
Just say the workplace.
I know. Why the company.
Why do we? But anyway, obviously the vagueness of that whole thing. Because what is
That's absolute bullshit.
I don't know what any of that means. So that spawned conspiracies.
Yes, of course.
There's heaps of them, but some of the ones I liked were that it's a psychological operation aimed at getting people used to seeing military forces on the streets so that when a real invasion or military takeover happens, they're conditioned to it.
Yes.
So like you're just so used to seeing people wandering around doing military shit that then suddenly it turns into, oh, we're actually controlling you all, but for real this time. But they're like, cool. That's fine because everyone's been doing this.
Yeah, right.
Another great one, very American, military operation to seize people's guns.
Oh.
They want my guns.
You're not taking my guns.
Don't take my guns. It was in Texas too, so I feel like
Christ.
This place.
It's Texas. My florist has a gun.
My gun. Anyway, then the best one involves abandoned Walmart. So apparently there's all these abandoned Walmarts around. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. The thing is, I actually heard about this from a date, a guy that I went on like a handful of dates with last year, right? And
sounds like a real time.
It was a time. And he told me about this and then he told me more about the Walmarts, but I couldn't find this information online. But basically what I remember from our drunk conversation was that they were like this – like just an abnormal amount of abandoned Walmarts. So his conspiracy sprang up that they were being used by the military to stockpile supplies for Chinese troops who would then be arriving to disarm Americans. So this idea that like the behind the Walmart's walls were all these like
all the guns.
Guns that were they were taking off people apparently. And then all these Chinese people
Chinese. They took Harold Holt, remember?
It's always the Chinese. Apparently then they're just gonna come in somehow.
Mm.
and they're going to get the guns and then that's the end. It's so wild. But it's always, I just feel like the best conspiracies are either around aliens or the military. Mm-hmm. And if you can combine the two.
The two, yeah. That's the sweet spot.
Juicy fingers, mm-hmm. sweet spot. And we've got that here in spades. Oh, so
it's beautiful.
But before I get down there, Pine Gap is like commonly known as Australia's Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
Not commonly, but you know, there's like, it's a thing people say. Yeah. I don't know.
It's our equivalent.
Yes, it's just a mysterious base and mm-hmm. no one 100% understands what it's being used for. It's a US satellite surveillance base / Aussie Earth station. I looked up Earth station. I don't know. I don't understand. It's 18 kilometres outside of Alice Springs in the Northern Territory, which isn't far. That's like 18K. It's like 10-minute drive from the one of the – I think it's the second biggest town in the Northern Territory, which would make sense as Darwin – And then I'm pretty sure it's then Alice and then it would be Catherine probably.
Yeah.
So Alice Springs, for anyone that doesn't know, is like smack bang middle of Australia. So it's right in the desert. It's a weird town.
Yes.
I've been there. I spent quite a bit of time there in my trip and it's sort of, it's pretty cool. I really liked it. It was one of my top places I would live aside from Sydney. It's got a good vibe. There's like a big, lots of hospital workers and that sort of thing. There's a big hospital there, obviously, because it's the second biggest place and it's in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
It's the climate's good. It's hot but dry heat.
Nights are cool. I hate humidity.
Yeah, no. It's the driest place. You would love it. You would love it. Really beautiful national parks around. It's just an interesting place. Like obviously red dirt. It's just kind of like a cool super Australian kind of place. But wow, that was such an aside on like the tiniest point on my first page.
And you're still on the first fucking page.
I know. So the name, in 1998, it was officially the Joint Defence Facility Pine Gap, but previously it was misleadingly known as Joint Defence Space Research Facility because they were kind of originally telling everyone it was for space research, but it wasn't.
Oh, fucking liars.
I know. It's run in part by the CIA.
That's why you're on the side.
Yep. The NSA, which is the US National Security Agency, and the NRO, which is the National Reconnaissance Office. So the NRO kind of deal with satellite intelligence.
Spying on people.
Yeah. The NSA do global monitoring, collection and processing of information and data for foreign and domestic intelligence and counterintelligence purposes, basically
spying on people.
They're spying on people. And the CIA are tasked with gathering, processing and analyzing national security information from around the world, primarily through the use of human intelligence. So it's essentially just like every fucking spy thing that America has.
Spying
it's here.
People, yeah.
We're here. It's a little smorgasbord of spying.
Smorgasbord of spying.
Come to Pine Gap with a smorgasbord
of
spying.
We won't look at you, I swear.
Oh, shit. So according to that Intercept article that I mentioned before, the official inverted commas cover story was that it was to support the national security of both the US and Australia. The facility contributes to verifying arms control and disarmament agreements and monitoring military developments, which, look, when we get into it, is partly true. Like, I don't think that they're necessarily lying. I just think that there's more shit going on than they're kind of telling us.
That's just the party line.
It's like a blanket statement, you know? It's like if you say...
That's the tip of the iceberg.
I didn't lie to you, but what I did do was emit a shitload of information, in essence lying to you, you know?
Yes.
It's a good way to go. They're sort of the
lying by omission.
They're the gaslighters of the government, you know? It's like if you were dating the government... No. These are like the fuckboys of government. If you were to date a department in the government, you don't want to date
these
three groups.
Yeah.
Because they're probably gaslighting you.
Yep. And not telling you.
And then
everything
they'll ghost you.
Of all the other girls that they're watching.
Yeah. They're like dating like 20 women. And they're like, no, babe, you're my only one.
Liars.
I'm only texting you. I say because I'm actually calling other girls.
Yeah.
I'm omitting information.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I talking about? Anyway, there's satellite pics all over the internet, which I'll put in the group, obviously. It's really big. It's sort of a weird looking thing. It's very organized looking. There's 38 radomes, which are those, like, you know, those cool big bubbly looking white domey things, like the Epcot Center.
Yeah.
There's those, and they actually just cover radio dishes. I don't know why, and I don't care why, and I didn't look into it, Josie, and we're not going to look into it.
We're going to move on.
Does it matter?
On.
No, it doesn't fucking matter. No. It's not why you're here. We're not. It's not radome.
Radome hour. Aussie
radome hour, you know.
I remember Thor crashing through one of those in the first Thor movie.
That's a brilliant addition to the story.
To go and get his hammer.
Great.
They'd put a dome around his hammer.
That actually makes sense because they're protecting some shit. Yeah. I don't know. But that, look, that helped, that
Shield
helped us.
Shield has done that.
Yeah. So Thor has helped us understand radomes is what we're saying here. There's lots of, like,
I mentioned Iron Man in Henno's episode as well.
Why do we just always, there's actually more fucking Marvel shit in this coming up. It's like, why
It's this, like, is a plug for the Avengers, which is out tonight.
Is
No, it's not. It's out. Hang on. This is Tuesday. Yeah. I'm going to the premiere tonight on Tuesday, and it's out on Thursday, I believe.
You just gave them free advertising on Mystery Hour. Like, I'm not even going to the Avengers premiere, so they could have at least given me an invite.
Yes, for that free plug.
For that plug. But I'm not complaining. I'll just sip my tea over here. It's none of my business. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Radomes. What else is there?
So there's also all these, like, random desert patches, which I don't really understand what they're for, but we'll get to that soon. There's – it's rumored to extend 12 floors underground with tunnels, like spokes on a wheel, so like a circular.
God.
Yeah. So, but this is all,
so,
like –
so it looks innocuous. It is like an iceberg. Like, oh, yes, here we go. And then underneath, there's all this fucking secret shit going on.
Well – allegedly. Oh. That's the thing, is we don't know.
Because they won't tell us.
Yes.
Because they're pretending it's just nothing to see here.
Yes. It's down like a dead end road. There's signage saying don't enter. It's very like, I've actually been to Area 51.
Yes, you told that story about how then the car followed you.
Yes, exactly. So it's similar vibes of that where it's like, it's in open view, but yet people are probably watching you as soon as you cross that fucking line, if not before.
Yeah.
The only way you can actually see it is by air, and if you climbed the McDonald Ranges, you could probably see it because they're situated behind it, which are these big mountain ranges near Alice. 800 people work there, which is fucking insane to me. I know. And the New York Times actually had in their article, they talk about like Americans in town because they all live in Alice Springs and they go to work.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
But high American population is weird. And they said, quote, though their presence in town is low-key, there are some telltale signs. A baseball diamond at a local sports complex, Oreo cookies and Dr. Pepper in the supermarket, and beef brisket on sale at the butcher shop. So they've kind of influenced the way Alice Springs works. Yeah.
That's so funny.
And as a fun fact that is from Listverse, so we don't know the verification of this, but it's a fun fact nonetheless. All the employees that live in Alice Springs say they're gardeners. So the joke is like if they're American, they say they're a gardener, they actually work at Pine Gap. Isn't that fun?
Oh, my God.
I love that.
That's so funny.
The location is strategic. It controls United States spy satellites as they pass over one third of the globe that includes China, Asian parts of Russia and the Middle East. So the reason they're there is because of those satellites.
Contentious areas too.
They're the bad boys.
Yeah.
They're the bad boys. And it's also in central Australia, not on the east, because it's too remote for spy ships that pass in international waters to intercept the signal. Which
spy
I didn't know there were spy ships in international waters. And I feel a bit dumb not knowing that.
Well, that was the whole theory with Harold Holt, was that one of those spy ships was under the water and that's where he went.
Probably. And he probably is to do with Pine Gap too. It's all
He probably runs the show. Oh, no.
When did he go missing?
1967.
Okay.
What? So, oh, my God. Have we found a conspiracy within a conspiracy?
It was created in 1966 during the Cold War.
No,
Josie just like gasped.
He did go missing in 66 because, remember, he became the Prime Minister. Oh, no, wait. He became the Prime Minister the day that the Beaumonts went missing.
Yes.
And I think, did he go missing that same year?
I'm doing a quick Google.
Harold. Oh, my God. Maybe it was 68.
Holt. Well, that would make more sense because, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, drowning death 1967. So it was created in 1966 during the Cold War. So I did a tiny bit of research on the Cold War, but not really a lot, because it's a very big situation. It went for a really long time, but there were sections. Mm. And so one of the sections that kind of finished up the worst part, so the bit where they were like, shit, our whole planet is going to get blown up by nuclear missiles.
Yeah.
So the Cuban Missile Crisis in 62 was the peak of that, obviously. Mm. But things were still unsettled after that, even though after that the world kind of stopped being divided into the Eastern and Western blocks. So the Eastern blocks being like Russia and shit, Western being America and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Great history lesson, Mel. And I think it's because Khrushchev was ousted by his government. I think that was the deciding factor of things getting a bit more chill, but not chill.
Yeah. So it was like, because it went into the 80s.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, well, now we're not East and Western bloc, but we're still distrusting of everyone.
We're still sus. So we hate the communists, the reds under the bed.
Yeah. And it's sort of like we're still looking into shit.
Yeah.
So 400 American families moved to Australia in 1970 and operations commenced then. But it was started getting built in 66. So it could be a conspiracy that Harold Holt is.
Oh, my God. You know? That's so crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's just.
I thought he was a mermaid.
We don't know.
No, we don't know.
Don't come and kill us, please, CIA.
We love you. I love the CIA.
I love the CIA.
I would love to be a spy. I'm just too.
All I've wanted is to be an ASIO.
And.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like I can't kill a cockroach, so I won't be able to shoot someone.
I'm a really bad liar.
Same. Like, no, I'm a good liar, but. But I also have to tell people the truth.
Yeah. Well, like I'm too moral.
That's my problem.
I get too nervous. The nervous energy is too much for me in a lie.
Yes.
So if I were to have to say, hello, my name is Fran Dingle and I'm a farmer from Gladstone in New South Wales. Already I'm fucking up. Is Gladstone even a part? I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
I'm in Emerald, Queensland.
Yeah.
Fran Dingle. I'm a
farmer. What do you farm?
I farm sheep. And I...
For wool or like I make a lamb mutton. Farm?
Mutton. Food.
That mustn't be very lucrative.
And I mutton, and you put it on your bread and dripping sandwich.
Okay. And, in 1926.
It's called Mutton Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 60 acres of my land. Mm-hmm. And it's very green because I live in Emerald, which is called Emerald because it's the Green Isles. That's from Game of Thrones. That's in Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, see what I mean? I'm shit. I'm so bad.
You're the worst.
I'm so bad. Fran Dingle. That doesn't even sound real.
No, it sounds so made up.
I've lost where I'm up to.
Yeah, what the fuck are we talking about?
Sorry.
Oh, we're talking about.
Oh, no, I know where
ships,
we're at.
The ships going past.
No, what we were saying was that Harold Holt could maybe have gone missing in connection to Pine Gap because it did start in 66. It was fully operational in 1970. That's when all the American families moved across, 400 of them.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of American influx into Americans. Australia at once, especially into a remote area.
Yeah.
Like people must have been sus.
Yeah. Surely. People would be like, where do all these Yanks come from?
Yeah.
Like, well, they talk like that.
That's probably why. It is open knowledge that it exists and that
because how can you
has a connection to this United States? Because how could you do that without it?
Yeah,
without setting up a random town in the middle of nowhere, and even then, people would probably find you.
Yeah,
but bit of background: it's part of a U.S.-Australia treaty made during the time, and at first, the public knew it as a place for space research, like I told you.
Mm-hmm.
But from the get-go, the US had the right not to give all the info to the Australian government, and apparently, during the Whitlam years, which was after.
Mm-hmm.
Holt, right?
Yeah.
Straight after Holt. They basically stopped reporting altogether to the government about what they were doing.
What agreement was this? Like, what did we get out of it?
Well, apparently it did finance Australia quite well.
Oh, okay. Do we have our own? Because remember in the Maori Man episode, there was talk
area?
About there's a.
Yeah.
There's a place where Americans do things in Australia.
Yes.
Do we have places in America where we do things?
No.
So how is this
fair? I don't think so. Because we don't fucking matter in this world. Ugh. What do we contribute?
Fucking
apart
hell.
From land and mutton sheep.
Mutton.
The mutton
big
limited.
Mutton. The big mutton.
The big mutton
You're
industry.
Part of big mutton. You're the Elizabeth Holmes of big mutton.
Well, I would be because I'm obviously trying to pretend that mutton is
Please
good.
Buy my
sheep and eat it with your bread and drippings.
I love doing Elizabeth Holmes' voice.
Love Fran Dingle. Anyway, it's Thursday, but it's technically Friday, so we're allowed to have lost our mind.
I'm eating a lot of chocolate too, so I'm on a bit of a sugar high.
I ate a lot before this, so right now it's like we're drunk off our lemon ginger tea, but it's just chocolate. So the Cold War officially ended in 1991, but then the War on Terror started in 2001. So
what were they doing for 10 years?
Who fucking knows, Stacey? Well, we're going to get into that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not really, but sort of. There's other things potentially going on there. So the Cold War ended in 1991, but the War on Terror started in 2001. No one knows what they were doing in that 10 years.
Sus.com. Mutton farming.
So operations moved away from nuclear treaty monitoring and missile launch detection, and it turned into more of a war-fighting base for U.S. military forces, which we'll get to later as well. In 1999, intelligence expert Professor Des Ball from the ANU, Australian National University.
Des. What a fucking legend.
Deso.
It's my cousin's name.
Des. Desmond?
Desmond.
Yeah. Who calls their child Desmond?
I don't know. It's fucking weird.
It's a weird name.
Yeah.
Sort of up there with, like, Gladys, you know?
That's his sister's name, my other
cousin. Is it actually?
No. Oh. Her name is Tracy.
Oh, that's a normal name.
Yeah.
He gave an outline of Pine Gap in some sort of court situation. I don't really understand this. I got it off Wikipedia, so there was no references. It's like citation needed.
Yeah.
I'm like, do we? Let's just say it's true.
I'm just going to put it on the airwaves and hope it's okay.
So he said the shit that they monitor are these four things. So telemetry from advanced weapons development, like ballistic missiles used for arms control verification. So I guess that's like, where'd this ballistic missile come from? Oh, it came from Russia. That's what I gather from that.
Okay.
Signals from anti-missile and anti-aircraft radars. So basically if they're like, there's a missile in the air,
right?
I guess. Transmissions intended for communication satellites, so spying.
Spying.
And microwave emissions like long-distance telephone calls. Spying.
Spying. Microwave emissions is funny to me.
I know.
Some bloke in Alice Springs heating up his McCain prison. They're like, there's someone heating up their dinner in Alice Springs.
This man has eaten microwave meals for every meal since January 2005. Oh, no. Let's judge him.
Send him a wife.
He also said there were three sections to the base. So the satellite station keeping section, the processing station.
Who's this?
And analysis station. This guy, Deso.
But how does Des know this?
He's just an investigator into things. Okay. I don't know is the point, Josie, that I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Is that I don't know. but, yeah, so they've got the three stations. So I guess where it comes in, where it gets processed, and then where it gets analyzed.
And the secret underground area.
Well, the analysis section is the secret underground area, as far as I can tell, because Aussies weren't allowed in there until 1980.
Fucking rude. No. What is this deal?
Don't
that
come into my country.
That they made.
Americans.
Yeah.
And not let me see the analysis.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It'd be like if you had some, I mean, this is every serial killer, but if your husband had some area you weren't allowed into in like, your own house, that's clearly the rape dungeon.
Also the den in general.
Yeah.
My dad has a bit of a den happening.
And no one's allowed in?
No, we are allowed. In fact, I go in there all the time.
Until 1980, your mother
wasn't
allowed.
But he doesn't like us being in there because he's sort of, he goes in there and he watches his YouTube videos. Like, he literally watches. My dad will spend his downtime Googling just first person train journey. So he's like watching the train go on the tracks. It's literally like a train and there's like a GoPro.
The camera's on the top?
Yeah, there's like a GoPro at the front of the train. And you're just watching
He needs to go on a nice train trip.
I know. But he also just likes watching them.
It'd be very relaxing. I kind of want to watch one.
Yeah. Well, whenever I go in there, because I also store all my beauty products in this cupboard. So I go in there to like get a new mascara or some shit. And then he's like watching train videos and I can sense that he wants me to leave so
like,
I can watch them.
You're ruining his like meditative train state.
Yeah.
But that's not what they were doing at Pine Gap.
No, they're not watching
much
trains.
More nefarious.
Or maybe they are.
Maybe that was the whole thing. Train surveillance. Maybe your dad's in on it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's why he doesn't want you in there. Because it's top secret spy information.
He doesn't want me knowing.
Melissa is in the room. Halt all communication.
Just don't play the bit where the man dressed all in black minces across the front and puts a bomb on the train line.
Like James Bond style, jumping from one carriage to the next.
In a little suit, like a little mime.
And he's
like,
waiting. He's waiting for you to get your mascara and leave so the operation can continue. You're like, do I want volumizing or curling? Do I want blackest black or noir? Get the fuck out, Melissa.
What the fuck are we talking about? Okay. So now Aussies are only officially barred from the National Cryptographic Room.
Ooh.
But Americans are also barred from the Australian Cryptographic Room. But I think that was just like, well, if you're not going to let me in yours, I'm not letting you in mine.
I'm not showing you mine if you don't show me yours.
Yeah.
Well, is cryptographic codes?
I don't know. Yes?
Isn't a cryptographer like someone that can...
Crack codes?
Crack codes. Like yes. The Zodiac code?
Yes. Also, I'm going to hedge a strong bet that the Australian Cryptographic Room is just people sucks. Drawing pictures of flowers. And they're like, fucking Americans, they can't see what I'm doing in here. And they're just like drawing hearts on a page. Yeah. Dictation, that's all they're doing. Anyway, since the end of the Cold War, the station has mainly been employed with intercepting and recording weapons and communication signals from countries in Asia, like China and North Korea. It was active in supporting the wars in Yugoslavia, Afghanistan and Iraq and every US war since the September 11 attacks. So it's used quite intensively by America. For shit.
Just like, yeah.
Like it's not like just sitting there pretending to do shit now. Yeah, it's like right. Very
involved.
They're fucking
busy. Those gardeners in inverted commas.
Yeah.
That eat the Oreos and drink the Dr. Pepper. And the brisket. Very busy and important.
They are very busy. They're not drawing dicks on paper. But the Aussies probably
they are.
Are
like, swinging around in their chairs, like throwing pens at the ceiling.
Yeah, like throwing like spitballs onto the roof.
And they've got like short sleeve shirts on with ties.
Yes. Yes. They like haven't moved on since the 80s. No. Like they still dress like 80s. So there have been heaps of protests there, obviously, because it's like a bit of a war base. So anyone anti-war kind of goes and protests there. 1983, Aboriginal women led 700 women to the Pine Gap Gates where they fell silent for 11 minutes to mark Remembrance Day.
Oh, that's nice.
It was the beginning of a two-week women-only peace camp organised under the auspices of Women for Survival. It was non-violent, but several women trespassed onto the base and were arrested, and they all gave their names as Karen Silkwood. Yeah. Well, they weren't actually. Okay, it wasn't 11 Karen Silkwoods. What?
No, that's
Is that
so
what you
cool.
thought? Oh, okay.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I know, right? So anyone that doesn't know who Karen Silkwood
My
is.
My favourite murder just did it. Listen to it.
She was an American nuclear worker who was murdered after campaigning for nuclear safety.
Allegedly
so it was,
murdered.
Yeah. There were also allegations of police brutality and a Human Rights Commission inquiry ensued after this. So it was all a bit sus. Then in 2002, 500 people gathered to protest at the gates, including some politicians.
Oh.
Apparently. This is, again, citation needed. They're objecting to its use in the impending Iraq war and missile defense. 2005, six members of the Christians Against All Terrorism group staged a protest outside. Four of them later broke into the facility and were arrested. A trial began in 2006, and they were fined $3,250 in the Northern Territory Supreme Court with the possibility of a seven-year jail term. But then they appealed and the convictions were quashed. Because judges who worked on the case stated that a miscarriage of justice had taken place because they were denied the right to argue the main defence that they had, which was that it was being used to conduct a war of aggression in Iraq. So it's sort of that weird thing of like, because it's like a secret base and they don't 100% tell you what's going on.
Then you in assume court, the worst.
They were fucked. Yeah. So that's good that they were let off. So moving on, that's all the kind of background I'm going to give you because who cares about the ins and outs of what the fuck a radio majiggy does.
We just know that it's three agencies that spy on people.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yes, lots of Americans. So there's heaps of conspiracies and contro shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, controversial shit. That was a weird abbreviation that I wrote down.
I knew what it was.
Yeah. So let's start with Echelon, which is a secret government code name for a surveillance program operated by the US with the aid of four other signatory nations to the UK-USA security agreement, Australia, Canada, New Zealand and the UK, also known as the Five Eyes.
What?
Yeah. So oh my it's God. Like this big spy thing. And even when you go on Wikipedia, it's like this is part of our surveillance content and it's like this eye.
Whoa.
I hate it. It's like Big Brother shit. Mm-mm. Do not like. So that was created in the late 1960s to monitor the military and diplomatic communications of the Soviet Union and its Eastern Bloc allies during the Cold War, like I told you about.
Yeah.
Formally established in 71. And then I don't really know anything else about it. It's basically just a bunch of
people
countries
spying on
banding
Russians.
Together, spying on everyone.
Yep.
But James Bamford, who wrote in The Guardian in May 2001, warned that if Echelon were to continue unchecked, it could become, quote, a cyber secret police without courts, juries, or the right to a defense.
Right.
So it's been creepy.
And it's like operating as like a above the law.
Mm. It's kind of, yeah. It, I mean, it's all this surveillance shit. Okay.
I love
it. Segue.
I fucking love it. I feel like I'm in an NCIS episode. I feel like I'm in Enemy of the State, which
yes.
I just mentioned today
yes.
being one of my favorite movies. I love all this.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is with all this surveillance stuff is that the reason people get up in arms about it is because it's essentially these secret agencies listening to all your shit, looking at all your internet shit, tapping into whatever, I don't know, you know, through the air. And
what is the internet?
What is the internet? As we've said before.
Yeah. And,
but I'm just kind of like, I know I can see why it could be bad. Because
yes.
if the information gets in the wrong hands or if the information is being passed to other people or being used for the wrong reasons, you know, that's not good. And also people should have the right to privacy to a degree.
Yep.
But I'm also the person that applies for a million competitions on the internet and has given my information to so many companies. Like everyone has my info. And I'm also a bit like, do I really give a shit if fucking – you know,
yeah.
Big Pharma know
a
that
big,
I'm 33
yeah.
and I live here and
I
like these
Big
things.
Mutton, no.
Yeah, that's
I don't
not
want
as
Big
good.
Mutton knowing.
I Big Pharma, fine.
My
big
thing
mutton,
is
no.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yes.
So I don't mind. As long as
yes.
they're using it to catch bad people.
Yes. But then there was that whole doctor thing. What was that? My doctor or like my medical record or whatever.
Yes.
Was that if it gets in the wrong hands
yes.
or it's passed
yep.
on, can people like fuck you up with insurance
yeah.
and shit? I don't know. So Edward Snowden comes into play here.
I was just going to say, is that what that Snowden man was about? I don't know. I don't know what he did. I just know he had something to do with whistleblowing on this
well,
kind of activity, right?
Yes. I know a very top line amount of information about Edward Snowden now. So on the 11th of July, 2013, documents were revealed through him. He was a former NSA analyst.
Right.
They showed that Pine Gap, amongst three other locations in Australia and one in New Zealand, contributed to the NSA's global interception and collection of internet and telephone communications, which involves systems like X Key Score. So there were two others. There was one down near Woomera.
Yes.
Woomera, yeah. They closed that down. They combined it with Pine Gap recently-ish. And then there's another one in the Snowy Mountains, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the one in New Zealand, I don't know, because I don't care. X Key Score was this secret computer system that was first used by the US National Security Agency, so the NSA, for searching and analyzing global internet data, which it collects on a daily basis. So basically they were like scanning the internet, constantly collecting data, which was his whole shtick, was like, oh no, the data. In The Guardian, it was described as a program that shed light on one of Snowden's most controversial statements, quote, I, sitting at my desk, could wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge or even the president if
Holy
I had a personal
fuck.
Email. Yeah. So it's
yeah.
kind of like quite scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just scary how much power, I suppose, individuals could have.
Yes, if it got into the wrong hands.
I
like
think
that
it,
kind
yeah.
of technology.
I wonder if it comes down to that kind of idea of, you know, with great power comes great responsibility,
yes.
you know. Is that Spider-Man?
I said that, actually. That's my famous saying. Is that Spider-Man? Is it?
It's Spider-Man, and Spider-Man is also Marvel. So it's that whole thing of just, I guess, you know, too much power in the hands
yes.
of individuals
yeah.
and what if that person goes psycho and they're mad at their ex-girlfriend and then they just like pull this fucking information
yeah.
on her and fuck her up her life, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's probably to do with that
mm-hmm.
is just it's creepy that they can access so much shit.
Yes.
So according to the Snowden documents, it was based around two secret missions. Mission 7600 with two geosynchronous satellites to cover Eurasia and Africa. Geosynchronous just basically, I think, from what I looked up, means they're very far out in space. And then that turned into Mission 8300, which was four of these satellites that covered the former Soviet Union, China, Southeast Asia, East Asia, Middle East, Eastern Europe, and countries on the Atlantic Ocean. So basically everywhere.
That's a big...
Big chunk. Area. Big chunk. They were equipped with powerful surveillance technology used to monitor wireless communications on the ground, like those sent and received by cell phones, radios, and satellite uplinks. And then they gather strategic and tactical military, scientific, political, and economic communication signals, according to the documents, as well as keep tabs on missile and weapons tests in targeted countries and sweep up intelligence from foreign military data systems, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it's just spying shit, spying on everyone.
The crux of it is. They're fucking spying on everyone.
On everyone. And spying on through the internet as well, which was kind of the new scary bit.
Yeah. Can I just... jump in here.
Yes.
Because I've listened to the Silk Road episode of Case File and like that wasn't solved by NSA. Like they didn't figure that out. That was just like, I can't remember what agency, but they ended up just Googling and that's how they found the guy.
Really?
Yeah. But it's like they didn't even really notice that stuff happening. That's pretty low key compared to like huge terrorist organizations, but it was still like a huge drug trade was going on, and drugs are a huge problem in America and in the world.
Yeah.
But, like, they weren't even using all this shit to, like, track that.
It is interesting, but then it's I also wonder if it's, like, they have these advances more in this realm of terrorism activity wars and stuff.
That's more what they care about.
Yeah, and then maybe they just don't let other people that deal with the drug shit have the technology. They're like, fuck you, you can't get access. I don't know.
I just think that's interesting.
It is interesting that Pardon they just me. Used Google.
That someone just, I think he was from the FBI.
And he's just like,
I think he just Google.
It's like, Silk Googled, Road.
And then he found the guy.
Amazing.
That's so really good. Funny.
So the other controversial element is the involvement in the drone attacks.
Yes.
So, again, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, one of its primary functions is to locate radio signals in the world's eastern hemisphere with the collected information then fed into their drone program, the US's drone program.
Mm-hmm.
This was confirmed in one of Snowden's documents, and the SMH article says that the stuff that they found played a key role in the United States drone strikes that were involved in all that targeted killing of Al-Qaeda and Taliban chiefs. Yeah. And the thing with that was all these civilians died at the same time. And so then there was this big UN inquiry into like, was it fucked? Because, you know, okay, in war, you're trying to kill these Taliban chiefs, but you're killing innocent people.
Yeah, at what cost?
Exactly. So that all kind of came out of Pine Gap. And allegedly, it's not entirely over. So Richard Tanter, senior research associate at the Nautilus Institute and honorary Melbourne University professor, told the New York Times that Pine Gap also contributes data for CIA drone operations in countries in which the United States is not at war, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, and so forth. It is also critically important in whatever the United States is going to do on the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah, I was wondering about Korea when you said China, Russia, Middle East.
Yes.
Like that same area also encompasses the other probo area of North Korea.
Mm-hmm. And an official said to the Sydney Morning Herald, so different article, quote, the US will never fight another war in the Eastern Hemisphere without the direct involvement of Pine Gap.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's super still going important. On and the drone stuff is still going on if we believe Richard Tanter. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't know.
We don't know.
Because it's weird and it's secret. Lying. Now we're getting into the weird shit.
Oh, I love weird shit.
I know, me too. I like weird shit's more fun because I don't have to like think too much about facts.
Yeah. I like the way you've laid this out.
Thank you.
It's really
in
good.
45 minutes, I've done a decent job,
<It's>
I think. So the first one is the Tesla resonance theory.
Okay.
So this is from that weird website, Stillness in the Storm. Amazing article. So reportedly extending some 20,000 feet below the base is a borehole containing an ultra-low frequency antenna, which is apparently used for secret experiments related to Nikola Tesla's resonance theories as well as low-frequency communications through the world. So Tesla made this thing commonly known as the earthquake machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was in 1893. It's like a steam-powered electric generator that he reckons caused a New York earthquake back then.
Okay.
And basically it uses, it's very complicated, but it's like it uses steam to push a piston up and down. And then because that's going really, really fast, it's like the vibrations cause this earthquake, right? And It's so good. He had this annual birthday party slash press meeting that he used to hold.
He sounds
zesty. Tesla sounds like a zesty motherfucker. So in 1935, he's 79 years old, and he tells this story, probably drunk, about the New York earthquake. He's like, oh, my thing caused an earthquake in 1893. He also claimed, wild claims coming from Tesla here, that it could destroy the Empire State Building with 5 pounds of air pressure.
Oh, fuck.
So he's like, in my head, he's just getting drunker and drunker. Yes. The old codger.
And he's old.
At his birthday party slash press. Yeah. Don't have a birthday party slash press meeting. No, that's my advice. That's like a
fucking disaster waiting to happen.
I just don't think that's a good idea to do that. And then he's just getting more and more outlandish with his statements.
Yes.
So Mythbusters reckon they busted this myth. They did an episode on it.
Well, I believe them.
Well, I don't, because I like to believe the conspiracy that underground at Pine Gap there's this thing that could potentially be causing earthquakes. Like
destroy
maybe
the world.
Well, you know how there was that Newcastle earthquake, right?
Yes.
So maybe they caused that. We don't know.
I love that you just picked the one that happened to me.
I don't know any other earthquakes in Australia that have happened
that are bad. Pretty major. I remember it.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that. Mm-hmm. That's all we have on that, basically.
Okay.
Is it right down in the ground there? There's some little secret borehole, and then they're like pumping this piston.
Just like,
they're like little coal men down there, you know, like ye olde coal men. And they're like, put the steam in, put more steam in. And then, like, every now and then there's like a horrible disaster, and like 10 of them die from steam accidents.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, fuck, some other 10 weird people we've pulled out of 1893, which goes into my next point.
Time travel.
Alternate dimensions.
Oh my god.
So potentially
I love alternate dimensions.
Me too. I love all shit to do with moving between time periods and shit. So maybe there are little 1893 men pumping this piston deep down in the earth and dying of steam related injuries every few months, because Richard Souder, a researcher, wrote a book called Underground Bases and Tunnels, which sounds very legit to me.
Sounds like does what it says on the tin.
Does what it says on the tin. He's like, shall I give this a fun and spicy name? No, I'm going to call it Underground Bases and Tunnels. I want people to know. So he reckons the base operates in alternate dimensions. Apparently, according...
It's got the most boring title, and then he's like, on acid.
And he's like, I'm going to fuck shit up now. Let's just go way over here to the left, way over here. And they're like, his editor's like, dude, I don't know about this. He was like, I was taking a lot of drugs that weekend, I saw into this other dimension.
Yeah, I was in the other dimension.
I've been there.
Dying of steam-related injuries.
I collected some of the men for the steam
and brought
piston.
Them back.
So he reckons the US government experiments with time travel and super soldier programs. What did
AKA
I say?
Captain America.
Captain America.
And the Winter Soldier as well.
Yes.
So are they all, my question is, are they all as hot as Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan?
I believe that they are.
If not, I'm not interested.
Why would you make a super soldier if he's not going to be hot?
If he's not as handsome as them, there's absolutely no point.
Why bother?
Like, why?
I just think if you're going to make a man extra cool by adding muscles to him and whatever the fuck they do, just get a hot one.
Yeah.
And maybe you could do a little bit of work on his face if you need to.
Straighten up his teeth.
Yeah. Just give him
his skin.
Filler in the cheekbone. Mm. Do his eyebrows, you know?
Like bulk up his hairline.
Yeah. Just a few little adjustments I think would improve.
Chisel his jaw.
Yeah. Also, a little point I would like to send to the Pine Gap people, if this is what you're doing, can you make them all a bit different? So it's like there's not just like a clone.
Oh, they're not all Chris Evans.
Yeah, because people have different ideas of hotness. You know?
Well, I think both of those guys are really hot, and one's got long hair and a beard, and the other one's very clean cut. You know,
see, that's good. There. We need a spectrum. Okay, good. also reminded me of Assassin's Creed, the only game that I like.
Yes, that's a great game.
Because that's where they take a guy and he gets taken back in time to his ancestors,
and then he's like in old timey fucking Rome or whatever, jumping around the roofs. That game.
It is that game. Mm-hmm. But there's no real information from Richard Souder on how he came up with these outlandish.
So, like, what's the rest of the book? That's what I want to know.
I mean, I need to get it
like
now.
Like, he makes these outlandish statements.
Just statements?
And that's the end of the book. It's 6 pages long, guys. It's more of a pamphlet.
More of a zine, if you will. He goes to, like, zine conferences and he's like, here's my zine.
It's mine. It's called Underground Tunnels and What was that?
Just now Richard Sout has turned into like a 25-year-old fuckboy with a ponytail who wears like Supreme head to toe. Tying to that.
Yes.
Also a theory about it being a portal to Mars.
Wow.
So there's suggestions that the CIA
what?
Time travel experiments and super soldier programs actually take place on Mars.
What?
Also Richard Souter.
Richard Dolph.
Richard Honey.
Put the bong down.
Step away off the bong.
From the bong.
So he reckons he spoke to a whistleblower named Rich Hansen, who was not only a part of these ultra-secret programs, but he, quote, left for Mars military service from a time portal in Australia. So Souter didn't confirm that the actual location was Pine Gap, but we're just sort of assuming that it probably would have been.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all well, that I have one, for you.
That one's lost me a bit.
I know.
You know which one I liked?
Yes.
Was the super soldier one, but also because I was homesick yesterday and I had Foxtel on and on Sci-Fi Channel is not only Xena, which I messaged you to tell you, but Sliders. Do you remember that fucking show?
Yes.
Every Friday night we'd watch Sliders with my dad and my brother. Mm-hmm. And they both love sci-fi and that kind of stuff. But that show was so good.
Yeah.
Because like if you guys are too young to remember Sliders, it was Jerry O'Connell and other people I can't remember. And basically there's some kind of thing like a gadget that opened up a portal to another dimension and they accidentally like fell into it or something. I can't remember. There were a few of them, like a group of people, and then they spent basically the whole time trying to get back to their dimension, and sometimes it'd be way off. Like they'd get there and there was this like green people with horns walking around.
Yeah.
But there was one really heartbreaking episode where they went back, everything looked kind of normal, and they were kind of racing against time because it was only open for a brief amount of time. And he opened his front gate and he's like, oh, this isn't right, it doesn't squeak, my front gate squeaks, like quick, jump back into the hole. So they jump back, and then a handyman came out with Jerry O'Connell's mum, I think,
yeah,
and was like, oh, I fixed the gate.
No!
And I stopped watching it. I was like, yeah. I can't.
I'm like, you made it.
They fucking made it back.
Yeah.
And then they jump back into the hole.
That's fucked.
That's what that reminds me of, like,
yeah,
these I used to think, is that really true, because I was a kid, and like, are there all these alternate dimensions, like realities, alternate realities that exist because people have been time traveling.
But anyway, the point being, I totally believe all that shit.
Yes.
So then we're moving on to the big one, the last one actually.
You still have so many pages.
No,
left.
That's because this one is like the meatiest.
Okay.
Aliens.
We love aliens.
We love aliens. Okay.
I'm a slut for aliens. Remember
I'm a slut
meme
for
that
aliens.
That I put in the
About
Mulder.
X-Files, yeah. Okay, so let's start in 1973.
Speaking of fucking shows I loved in the 90s. Continue.
Okay, so 1973, that's where we're going to start. So this is 3 years after it starts working as a base for military, inverted commas.
We're doing so many air quotes.
Yeah. Okay, alien shit. A cartographer, so a map guy, working for the Australian government, saw an intense vertical blue light coming from the base at around midnight. He went closer. Why would you go closer?
I would run so far away.
I would hide my head in the sand like an ostrich. He reckons around 300 metres from the ground, a large gleaming disc was hovering.
What the shit?
I know. Quote from Universal Seduction, the book that I got this from.
Is this alien porn?
Pretty much. A UFO of dull grey colour with a slight yellow fuzz around its edge and approximately 550 feet in diameter hovered above.
Whoa.
A thin, bright blue beam like a rod slowly extended from the UFO to the base. A few minutes later, the light beam retracted, only to be followed by a similar blue beam slowly extending from the base to the disc. This was followed by a gold-coloured beam which appeared very close to the blue one. Process continued for about 40 minutes and ended when the disc made some rapid oscillations, so spinning around, lit up like a neon sign and ascended vertically at a very high speed.
Oh.
So it's like it came down,
did some weird
light shit between the base and itself, and then went back up. So then moving on to 1975, a private plane was chartered over the base to have a look at the new secretive facility. So it was a pilot and some people that paid for
just
the pilot.
Fucking nosy.
Yeah, nosy parkers, very Aussie, very Aussie country.
Like,
gotta go and look at these
doing.
New people that have moved in. What are they fucking
my
doing?
My mum going every open house on
oh
her
God.
Street just to look at people's houses.
Me in every country town going into any cafe, like the eyeballing is insane. And like, fair enough, it's the Aussie tradition.
Yeah.
We always learn when everyone else is shit. So they flew over the base and obviously we're looking. Out of nowhere, a large white object appeared to take off from the base below them, moving super fast. Almost as soon as it appeared, it vanished into the sky above them.
No.
The plane continued its journey, and upon landing, the pilot made a report of the sighting. Both the pilot and all the passengers were asked to wait for investigators to take further details of the encounter. Upon arriving, these investigators allegedly told the witnesses that they were not to talk about what they saw and essentially to forget the incident.
Oh my God, they're like Men in Black and yeah. have those things that make you forget yeah. everything.
Yes. Men in Black comes back into play.
Get soon. Out. All my favourite fucking pop culture references are in this episode.
I know. Then in 1980, two Northern Territory police officers were looking for a missing child when they found a camouflage door open in front of them.
Yep. What?
Yep.
What?
Then they saw several bathtub-shaped objects leave the doorway.
No.
Yes. And slowly make their way across the base. Josie is like losing her mind over this.
Oh my God. I am picturing just flying bathtubs.
Me too. Wasn't there like a book about that?
Yes. Oh, was that? I'm thinking bed knobs and broomsticks.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Bathtubs and broomsticks.
Bathtubs and broomsticks. Oh then my God. A dark oblong shaped black hole.
What?
Appeared from nowhere in the hills around the facility, and the object entered it and disappeared. I know.
I'm doing Tasmanian tiger mouth.
I know. It's so wild. We keep going. 1984.
Who saw that? The policemen?
The Northern Territory police officers, two of them. Yeah. But there's no quotes for any of this shit. That's the problem. Well, it's also like there's nothing to back up any of these claims. Yeah. I have no idea. But it's just fun, it's zesty stories. Yeah. That's what we're doing here, mate. So 1984, five witnesses all spoke anonymously. Mm. One had been receiving increasing reports of UFO sightings in the skies over Pine Gap in the weeks leading up to their encounter. But then he got a message saying, quote, something big was going to happen at Pine Gap in the upcoming days. He didn't actually say what days because that's how anon they were trying to be.
Oh.
He and the four other men split into two groups, two vehicles, and approached the base from different positions to stake it out. Mm-hmm. First 3 days, nothing. Then on the fourth night, several large military vehicles began ferrying large groups of workers in coveralls to the large radomes on the base, so the big circly things. As this was taking place, a pillar of gold light suddenly shot upward from the ground to the sky and pulsed. A strange cloud was forming high up above the pillar of light.
No.
When it vanished, the light, five strange craft were making their way to the base, four diamond-shaped UFOs and one that was a cigar shape.
Cigar shape.
I know. It's a little, like, weird dick-shaped.
With, like, a light at the end.
Yeah. Once they were over the base, the pillar of light appeared again, this time from the craft above to the ground below. Mm. This went on for several minutes, all while the strange cloud above continued to form. In a moment, the five craft vanished. So it's similar in a way to the previous story, which is why this is all getting a bit weird. Because it's like similar vibes of pulsing light going from the ground gold light, up.
Yeah.
The most famous apparently is this one called the camouflage door encounter.
I hate the camouflage Me door too. So much.
Me too.
And the bathtubs flying. And
the bathtubs. So at 4:30 a.m. on December 22, 1989, three hunters were returning from an all-nighter hunting trip. That's a weird thing in and of itself. That's a weird thing that people do.
Yeah.
But they do it. It's fine. You're allowed to do it. Well, the weird thing is, like, I feel like when you're in the outback, there's just so much fucking wildlife.
Oh, yeah.
So there's all these kangaroos and rabbits and, like, other fucking shit and all these pests. Mm. And, like, things that we are, like, cute are, like, pests.
Fuck off.
So it's, like, much more accepted, I feel, out there to just go hunting.
Do you know there's deer in Tasmania and they're a problem?
Yeah. Deer. Didn't a deer kill someone recently?
I can't remember.
In, like, Victoria?
They're so cute.
Well, there you go. They're a problem. Well, I like rabbits and they're a fucking problem.
Yeah, everything's a problem.
I don't like cane toads though. We can kill any of them. Yeah, kill all of them.
Kill all of them.
So anyway, they're coming back from this hunting trip. They find a hidden door camouflaged in the desert terrain. They opened it.
No.
I wrote, never open it. Why would you open it?
Go away.
Don't open hidden doors buried in the ground.
No. It's never going to be anything good.
Well, this wasn't good because a huge metallic grey disc came out. Just came out. It moved without sound, hovering for a moment over the base. Then as they looked on, the disc suddenly shot upward at a lightning pace. In a moment, it was gone. As they gathered their thoughts, they would witness the camouflage door moving back into place, shutting tight as if it were never there. So what I don't understand is, if it was so camouflaged, how do they open it?
Exactly. And also, why'd they just stand there and gather their thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know.
They should have thrown sticks at it like those boys with the ghost.
They absolutely should have. And then we're coming to my last story, my favourite story, also from the Universal Seduction, where all of these stories have originated from. I'm just going to read it quote from the whole thing because it's just too good.
Yes, yep.
Bill Chalker, don't know who that is, also writes that in 1992, a woman called him to say that her 22-year-old husband, inverted commas Greg, not his real name, had seen two strange-looking men wearing long dark coats standing in her New South Wales front yard about 8:45 p.m., but they suddenly disappeared. They were men in black and watching Greg. At age 5, he had men in black imaginary friends who looked like friendly, normal human beings. They appeared, e.g., in his room at night, in the park to play, or at a pool. In the late 70s, he was given a handheld computer device that showed moving coloured scenes like a TV. At 12, he started having the experience of finding himself in a strange room, on board a craft a number of times without knowing how he got there. Normal-looking humans escorted him. Greg, honey.
Wow.
Just think that you should have been telling someone about this. Then the men in black would approach him and ask him to come somewhere, enter a craft on the ground. That's literally word for word what it said on the site. It's not very good English.
Mm-hmm.
He would be taken on rides and shown things. At about 14, he sensed little aliens on board, apart from humans. It seemed he was being groomed for some sort of service. The craft then started going to secret bases. He'd had their trust but realized he'd made a mistake and wanted out. He became aware of others participating in these cultivated relationships.
I hate this.
I know. He claims abductions were going on at secret bases and people were being subjected to cruel procedures at the bases. The beings were ultimately cruel and ruthless. He began to fear for his own safety and he thought he was being evolved into a Men in Black type role. So he thought he was being trained to become a Men in Black.
Yeah, right.
Greg's first visit to Pine Gap underground facility on board a UFO showed what was ahead as an image of a computer screen, not through windows. I don't really know what that means, but he went to Pine Gap. The screens would automatically switch off and a thing took over. A thing took over, literally.
Like an alien?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
And guided them through the opening slides, like traveling through a tube for about 15 to 30 seconds before coming to the base itself. The actual complex had spaceships there. Men were working on repairs, laboratories, glass houses, food storage areas and other facilities. The men in black presence stepped up. In 1992, Greg saw three men outside who disappeared suddenly.
Oh my God.
3 days later, Greg went outside and his wife saw what seemed to be a flash and explosion which knocked Greg off his feet and left behind a burning hole. He thought they were intimidating him into compliance and submission. Greg intended to continue the alien liaison relationship, but has not heard from them since 1993.
What the fuck is that story?
I know. It's so good though.
Greg
and his men in black. Maybe they just thought he wasn't very good at being a men in black in
maybe
the end.
Maybe because he told Brenda or whatever.
Yeah, I think he wasn't being very like secretive. I think if you want to be a men in black guy,
yeah, you can't tell anyone.
You can't
anything.
Tell your wife.
Like we'd be so bad at it. Like imagine working for the CIA or the NSA or the fucking Men in Black.
Shields.
And now I'm just Shield. Saying things. And like going home and not being able to tell your partner or anything what you've been doing.
You'd have to make up the best stories. That's what's so weird to me because you couldn't just be like, not much happened today, doll. Like, where's the rissoles? You'd have to actually.
Yeah, I love rissoles. Mm,
me too. I feel like making them tonight.
Yeah. Have you got a recipe? I got a good recipe.
Yeah, I got a good one for salmon once.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oof.
you'd have to come up with fucking stories. Like I tell the most inane stories to like my family and stuff about work, and you'd have to come up with that all the time.
You'd just have to go, oh, so and so in the lunchroom, and make it about personalities and not about actual work.
That's what like omit the key elements of in the lunchroom with the aliens. Yeah.
And you're there with like your
and
arms.
Bob is actually an alien.
Your arms being like cut off. You're just like But, like, I've watched so many things where I don't know if you or anyone listening watched Jack Ryan. Mm-mm. I always want to say Jack Reacher, different thing. It was John Krasinski. It's like the Tom Clancy novels.
Oh,
it was
on
the Amazon streaming thing. And he's obviously, I think he's in the CIA analyst. But then he gets kind of elevated into more of a, like, agent role. And then he's, like, Abby Cornish is in it and he's kind of, like, meets her. And when he, like, is chatting to her, a helicopter comes and, like, picks him up. And, like, takes him away. Like, imagine trying to explain that away.
Yeah. It's like you can't explain. It's like if you disappeared for, like, 2 months because the aliens took you up into space. Yeah. Or, like, you went into the portal like, to Mars.
Why weren't Greg's family concerned that as a 14-year-old
he was off on missions all the time?
To, like,
it's weird. But anyway.
Look, I definitely buy into aliens and I love it all, but I don't know if I believe Greg.
Okay, I don't really believe Greg, but what do you think about generally the aliens at Pine Gap?
Well, all those fucking stories about discs and bathtubs and the door and the beams of light, totally. And I totally think humans would be making spaceships.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I just think when you have multiple accounts.
Yes, yeah.
And, I mean, I suppose it's hard to say this because then people could be copying previous accounts or like going, okay, I'll make this sound believable because I'll pick up on this camouflage door shit. But I also then think it's like with the Tassie tiger and with the Lithgow panther, like all the Yowies, when there's all these reports and there are common denominators to them, you start going, well, now I'm maybe like believing
this
shit.
Why would that many people just be attention seeking? I just can't understand being bored enough to like go to the police. Even the hitchhiking girl in the ghost story that I told.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of people have reported to the police.
Yeah.
That they've picked up a woman and then she's disappeared from their car. Like, why would you bother? I just can't imagine. And remember those two women that I quoted? Like, they were just normal. Why would they go to the paper and talk about that? Like,
exactly.
A woman suddenly. They didn't pick her up, but they saw her disappear from the road.
Yeah.
Like, why would they both do that?
Why would you bother?
And then put their name in the paper and, like, people know them.
Yeah, and it's also then if you go to police and stuff, it's like you're getting yourself into hot water.
Yeah, you're going to the law. I just think.
Yeah.
It's like not just a tall tale that you tell.
Yeah.
If you've then gone to the police and reported it.
Yes, like, exactly.
That elevates it slightly.
I don't 100% believe in the like portal to Mars or
portal
the time
to Mars,
travel.
No. Alternate dimensions, yes.
Okay.
Only because of sliders.
Okay. That's the only reason.
I believe that it can happen because of sliders.
I mean, I think that the most, I mean, it's the actual truth of what's going on there is all of the espionage.
Spying, yeah.
But I mean, I do think the espionage, obviously, that's a given. Mm. I just think that's obviously happening.
Well,
they're spying on everyone.
And everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing
it,
guys.
And it's a perfect place to do it.
Yeah.
You know, clear skies.
Yeah. Great geographical location.
Yeah, all that
for
shit.
All those, they can't go to Russia and fucking do it.
No.
So they'll just come here and spy on Russia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I also always think, and the same with Area 51 and all these like desert located military spots, you're in a perfect spot to do some weird shit.
Look at the
so
Japanese
do the weird shit.
Fucking cattle farm.
Yeah.
Testing, what's it called? Sarin gas.
Sarin gas, yeah. Well, it's, yeah, like that's what I just think there's some fishy shit going on. Probably to do with aliens.
Yes. 100%. Yeah, I definitely believe aliens. Don't believe Greg.
But believe aliens.
But I believe there's some alien shit going on there. That was wild. And now I know why my brother was like, do that. But also he said to me last year that there was a show coming on Netflix about it.
Well, there is a show I think that already exists called Pine Gap, an Aussie show, and it's more about obviously the espionage stuff, not the aliens.
Not like Greg.
I read a brief about it and then I forgot what it said, but I want to watch it now.
Yeah. Fucking wild, man.
Yeah.
What is going on out there?
I don't know.
Did you know about Pine Gap before you went on your trip?
No. So I reckon if I knew about it, I would have driven up
you
to the sign.
You would have 1,000% done
that. Yeah. But I get too scared to do anything like that. Like I wouldn't have gone beyond
the
sign.
You wouldn't have jumped over the fence.
No, I wouldn't have been driven down the road.
Camouflage door.
No. Uh-uh.
And I wonder if there's like restricted area in the airspace. And
well, I don't think there is because there's a lot of satellite photos of the area. So I have a feeling.
That's why everything's under the ground.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're sort of like, it's fine to look. We've got the satellite shit going on.
This is all legit, guys.
Yeah, and then underground there's aliens.
There's the 1893 guy.
Yeah.
There's aliens. There's
Captain America.
There's sliders.
Yeah.
Both the mini burgers and the TV shows.
There's Greg.
Greg's there. Captain America and the Winter Soldier and Benedict Cumberbatch as Julian Assange.
Just stuck back on. There's Greg.
There's Greg.
Just this guy.
Edward Snowden.
Just this Aussie guy.
Just
Edward
Greg.
Snowden's down there.
Fuck.
The Lithgow Panthers
Lithgow,
in there.
Tassie Tigers.
They've got
yawning.
Like 10 Tassie Tigers in a cage. Everyone's down there.
I want to go.
Can you just let us in, Pine Gap? I know you're listening.
Yeah, you're definitely listening
you're
to all this.
100%
we're
going
to leave this room and there's going to be two men in suits with their arms crossed waiting for us.
If we go missing in the next week, you know why.
Speaking of men watching us,
mm-hmm.
I did start this little zesty mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the guy downstairs.
Yes.
And then I never resolved it.
Oh, my God,
anyone.
Yes. We're going to resolve it.
And someone in the group was like, what happened there? And I'm like, well, no, someone in the group, our Facebook group, or the Mystery yes. Hour podcast on Facebook, someone said he's probably security. And then I'm like, yeah, well, okay. So I actually went and asked him.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm within my rights as a woman working here to ask the man that's sitting in the car downstairs yes. what the fuck he's doing. So I was coming back from lunch and there was a bit of a weird interaction happening with like this woman in a big black car and she was leaving and he was out of his car. And so I said, what's your job? And then he said, what's my job? Like, you know how when people don't want to answer something, they repeat the question?
Uh-huh.
And then he goes, my job's strange. Then what did he say? Oh, I was looking for something.
And I think
and I found it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell? And I came like racing upstairs. Then we made our office manager ask the building manager, who's this like kind of friendly old man that hangs around, like fixing doors and stuff. She said, some of the girls in the office are concerned, like who's the man downstairs? And he said, security. The level, and she goes, security for who? And he's like, level two.
Yeah.
So the level above us, which is some company.
Yeah.
But it's still sus.
But then
me.
We Googled the company and we were like, this company seems a bit
yes,
sus.
Yes, the company, the website looks a bit too schmick.
Yeah.
Like a little bit too produced.
Yeah.
So I'm still sus, even though apparently he's just security.
Yeah, me too.
It's still weird. Maybe he's involved in
Pine Gap.
And all is in Mystery Hour, and he knows that we've been covering mysteries. So the government sent him because they were like, they were too close to home on Harold Holt.
Yeah.
You need to watch these girls.
Yeah.
Because they're fucking on the ball.
They are on the ball.
They know Greg's there. They know Greg is under the ground. Over. I've had too much chocolate.
Oh my God. Okay. On that note, we're going to go, guys. Bye.
Bye.